So welcome, everyone. On May the 7th, 2017, to receive sacred, anointed, and exceptionally special blessings from Christ. We come with humility and gratitude and joy just to be in His presence and to know that He will see in us the best that is in us. We have a caller on the line from area code 903, and that is probably Ben. Hello, Ben.
Yes, I have a request for a friend of mine.
Okay.
Nancy with an I, DuPont.
Okay.
And she's having back surgery, major back surgery on May 15th at 7:30 a.m., and she's a hypnotherapist and a friend, and it was just fortuitous that I called her at the right time to offer what you have to offer the world and that she could be a part of it.
Oh, that's wonderful. And she will be a part of it. We will focus on her all through the blessing. Thank you, Ben. I really appreciate that. And I appreciate everyone who comes here, not just for themselves, but for others. Because we are a radiant light into the world. And when we let our light shine, we activate the light of others that then comes back to us. And the whole world shines a little more brightly. Someone is calling from area code 512. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
And who am I speaking with?
This is Nancy Dupree.
Oh, Nancy, hi.
I have a friend of mine, Carol, who has finally, the final straw was the flu, and she has fractured two vertebrae in her back. And now she has a fever of 104. So she's over at the emergency room right now, and I just would like to have prayers.
Okay. Her name is Carol?
Yes.
Are you in Austin, Nancy?
Yeah, just south of Weird. Yeah.
That's what I thought, by your area code. Okay. We have her in our prayers as well. And
thank you.
I know how painful that can be. Oh, my goodness. So thank you for calling in on her behalf as well. Is there anyone else who would like to ask for blessings or share a blessing received or express gratitude for blessings given? We like to hear from our community because it gives five dimensions to our community. It gives the space of four dimensions and then the up and down of the fifth dimension and the sixth dimension of spirit and the seventh dimension leading to God. So it's a multidimensional space when we open up and really create this community. So that's an active part that all of you actually are playing as being blessing givers in addition to being blessing receivers. And if you have anything in the background that you like to contribute, let's say your phone is muted, but you're playing music, or you're reciting a poem, or maybe you're praying for someone while I'm offering a message. You know, we won't hear you unless you sign in. So whatever, if you'd like to sing, whatever you do to expand this space makes you a blessing giver. If you're a Reiki master, offer some energy into the blessing. If you're a master of any of the spiritual arts, offer them into the blessing. And right now we have over 400 blessing givers worldwide. And not all of them show up every day on Sunday, but all during the week they're offering blessings. And that's giving an expanded space to our global community, for which we are deeply, deeply grateful. It makes a difference. So I want to thank all of you for contributing each in your own way, according to your own beliefs or your masteries in spirit, or maybe just the point you've arrived at on your pathway in spirit. Because I'm finding that spiritual growth is a never-ending process, and it's on a pathway to God. But can we say that God is ever finite in any way? So no sooner do we walk through the gates of heaven than we are greeted with a beautiful garden with more gates beyond that, and then greeted with angels and more gates beyond that, and then perhaps the cosmos and life forms and angels still creating our universe and gates beyond that. That happened to me. That very similar thing happened to me on, let's see, it was April the 12th, I believe. It's hard to remember now, because time has become a different thing for me. But it was in 1996. Pardon me. Up until that time, I did not tell anyone that Yeshua and I had verbal, audible conversations. Now, I think most people would probably have assumed that we had spiritual communion, and perhaps by through empathy and other means of emotional, spiritual, mental osmosis, we probably exchanged some awareness. I don't think anyone would have thought any less of that occasion. But to actually have a verbal conversation in which I asked questions and he answered them, that was something I just didn't feel comfortable telling anyone. It was challenging enough to take the painting out to the world and say, he appeared to me and this is what I saw. I didn't claim to anyone that this is the way he looked 2,000 years ago, or that this is the way he would necessarily look to anybody else. After all, the Son of God can appear in any way he chooses, as he chooses, when he chooses, and that would be my belief. But that is the way he appeared to me. And I painted exactly what I saw. And what I saw is not what I expected, because like almost everyone else, I had been conditioned by my Sunday school book pictures. And this isn't the way he looked in the Sunday school books. Actually, he looked like someone from the Middle East with a cloth on his head, well covered for the sun, to protect from the sun. And he was, well, very, very dark-complexioned, Semitic, brown-eyed, dark brown hair, or maybe not quite black, but dark. That's the way he was in all the Sunday school books. I'm an art historian, and I specialized in the history of Christian art. So you can just imagine how many paintings of him I saw that were created through the whole almost 2,000 years of art history depicting him. Never once did I see him like he appeared to me. So it was a shock. And I wondered if, in fact, I was projecting. But he didn't look like I expected. And he didn't look like me. He didn't look like any family member I had. He didn't look like any spiritual teacher I'd ever had. So it really, truly did come from the world of light, the world of spirit, out of the blue, so to speak, and there he was. And I painted what I saw because I knew that what I saw contained a message. And I thought, that's enough. That message will serve its purpose according to his intentions. And other than that, I had a zipper on my mouth. Well, on April the 12th, I was awakened at night by the feeling of someone sitting on the bed with me. And I opened my eyes, I felt the weight on the bed, and I saw the light, and it was him. And he said, I will speak through you now. And I wasn't exactly sure what that meant, but I said, oh, no, you don't mean that. And then he left. And a few nights later, I think it was on the April the 26th, I was wondering what to do. My husband and I were at the local mall. We just had dinner at one of the restaurants, and we were wondering what to do with the rest of our Saturday evening, and we walked into a bookstore. And a major book that had been a spiritual book that had been forecast was released. And I walked up, and I thought, oh, that's what I want to do. I want to buy that book, and let's read it. And I started to reach for the book when something grabbed my hand. And I pulled back. And it's not that something or someone was saying, that's a bad book, don't read it. It was like, wait a minute. Don't you have something else to consider first? And I realized what it was. And that is that I had taken in so much information and knowledge and understanding from Yeshua. Until I could be responsible for that, why would I want to take in more from another person? And I understood at that point. The time had come to really be responsible for what I had learned, for what I understood. And at that moment, right there in the bookstore, I went through some kind of transitional space. Don't know how to describe it. You know, I don't do drugs. I never did drugs, but I have friends who did. And they would tell me that it's kind of like an altered space, like you walk through a doorway and on the other side, everything looks different. Well, it was kind of like that. But I just went into another space where I was almost hypnotized. And I just said to my husband, I said, I don't want to do it. Let's just watch a movie. And the only reason I wanted to go to a movie is so that he would be distracted from bothering me. And I could sit there in my altered space. But in that altered space, I went through one gateway after another. I went down one corridor after another, after another, after another. And then I saw the space opening up to where all there was the cosmos opening up before me, absolutely infinite space. And out in the space were golden lit particles. And I could call them, and they would come. And I could reach out with my hand and move them. And I knew that all of those particles were information that I had acquired from him, or maybe that I acquired in lives before. But those were particles of knowledge and information that I had acquired, and I was doing nothing with them. And the thought came over me, why would I want to acquire any more until I do something with what I have? And it was with that that I agreed. I agreed then to speak. And that changed my life. But the act of speaking to audiences every time was a new gateway I went through that changed my life. Every time I learned to use something that I had acquired and integrated it into my consciousness in a useful way that I could give to others, my life was changed. And over the next few months, as I was delivering these lectures and turning them into a recorded series, my world changed. And the demand for the word was so great, I had to write a book. And I had no resistance on writing it, other than I didn't feel I was up to the job. I felt like the job was, it required a really wonderful author and someone who knew better how to write than I did. But some wonderful people came in to help me to read what I wrote and edit the book, and we put it together. And that was a passageway. And that was a new doorway. When the book was done, I knew that I had left a legacy to the world. And that changed my life. It was better than having a child because it was fully grown on its own and it would reach out to the world and love the world in so many ways. And then there was more and there was more, and every step was a step on the pathway. Now, why am I telling you this? Because we don't really understand what a miracle is. And that's what I want to give you today, is a little bit better understanding of a miracle. A miracle is not just when something gets better. When something gets, shall we say, progressively better, we look at it as a wonderful gift of life, because ideally, life just wants to get better and better. This bougainvillea that's coming back gets bigger and better every day, and it has more blooms on it, and it's more wonderful and healthier. But what was a little baby miracle for me is that the bougainvillea was completely killed by the cold this winter. I could snap off every limb, and they were totally dead. So I just clipped it off to the ground. I thought when spring came, I would just dig up the soil and plant a new one. But before I had a chance to do that, new life sprang up from the roots. That was unexpected. You see, I think miracles are when life rearranges itself for rebirth. This is what the apostles were talking about with being born again. You know, the thing is, we're born, we were created in the image of God, and every newborn baby is innocent and pure. And they grow into childhood as loving little boys and girls that we just want to kiss and hug, and we just want to see them as big teddy bears, even though they can create their dramas and their problems from time to time. They're big, lovable teddy bears. But we all grow up. We encounter our problems. And still, we're proud of ourselves and our children as they learn more and become more and take on the world. But we're becoming what I would call a mixed picture. You know, a mixed picture of problems, possibilities, achievements, declines, some failures, some grief, some joy. We're a big mixed picture by the time we get into our 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. And we see that mixed picture, and it's full of all kinds of stuff. But when we can actually discover the presence of God within us, that has survived and outlived all of the challenges, and that is given new birth. That's like my bougainvillea sprouting up from the roots. That's a brand new plant, not coming out from old limbs, but brand new everything. But it still doesn't mean that it doesn't need to grow. You see, even after a miracle happens, we still need to grow. And miracles won't happen just in one way. They'll happen in dozens of ways. And they'll happen over and over again. Miracles can happen in sequences. For example, the man who was lame stood up. But when he stood up, that didn't mean that all of his arms and legs were immediately healed and repaired. That might happen a few weeks later. And again, a miracle. And then, the greatest miracle of all is his faith would be restored in life. And he would find himself being a productive human being, able to regain his self-esteem and his place in the world, in society. You see, even miracles can be sequential. We don't just settle for one thing, because even though miracles come and they change life, they're setting us up for seeing that life can be infinitely changed into something better and better and better. So if you're one of the people going to have surgery, be thankful that you have the best doctor and that you get through it with miraculous success. And then be thankful that you get the best physical therapist and that you get through that with miraculous success. And then be thankful that you have friends and family around you that want you to be whole and well again. And because of that, because of their love and their encouragement, they see you as a productive member of the family all over again. And that's a miracle. These are all sequences of miracles. Every time life renews itself, that's a miracle. And that's the difference between growth. Growth is when that bougainvillea I'm looking at out the window puts out another limb off of the one that already exists and a few more petals of color. They're really not flowers. They're colorful leaves, but they look like flowers. So every time they branch out and do a few more, that's growth. But I've been noticing over the days, it wasn't just one shoot that came up from the ground. Now there are six. And I see signs of more. I have a beautiful tropical fern that was killed by the winter. But I thought, as soon as I realized that, I put warm water on the soil, brought it in, and I cut off all the dead limbs. And I've had it by an open window all during the rest of the winter, and now it has six new shoots. These are all little miracles. They're all little miracles. We had a torrential rain. Raining sheets. The kind of thing that didn't just produce inches, but it filled up whole wheelbarrows within a few hours. And we have a pool. And it not only filled the pool to overflowing, it washed soil from the surrounding area into the pool. And that created a fungus in the pool that caused it to look so much like a Florida swamp, I was afraid I'd walk out and see an alligator in it. And I thought for sure we'd never get it turned around. And on top of that, the heavy workload on cleaning that destroyed our pump and the motor. And we didn't have the money for that. We really didn't. I didn't know where we would find it. But It was a miracle the next day. Someone called in and placed a large wholesale order of essential oils and gave us the money for the pump. Our pool man came out and he says, "Oh, Lord, I've never seen a pool look like that." And I said, "Jesse?" The funny thing is, he goes by Jesse, but like so many Hispanics, a very popular name is Jesus, which in English is Jesus. And so sometimes I call him Jesus. And I said, "Jesus, can we fix this pool?" And he said back, "Well, I don't know if I can, but Jesus can." And so we both laughed. And he said, "I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do first one thing and then another and then another and another." He came back out today and he walked up and he says, "Well, it's a miracle. It's perfect. Crystal ice blue clear water. Everything perfect." That wasn't just growth. That was a turnover. That was a turnover of possibility. That was a renewal. That's what was meant by miracle when Jesus, Yeshua, and the apostles talked about miracles. And we, because we are created in the likeness of God, doesn't mean we're always going to stay perfect. See, people misunderstand that. They say, "Well, if I was created in the likeness of God, why didn't I stay perfect?" Well, the answer is because you're here on earth having a human experiences with a lot of challenges. And like my pool that overflowed with earth and built up funguses, that happens to all of us. The point is, because you were created in the image of God, you can always be perfectly renewed. You can always be made new. And sometimes it has to be one condition at a time. Because, why? Well, there's a very good reason. Because sometimes we cannot handle the toxic overload of elimination that goes along with renewal. We have not been able to provide this for a while, but for many years we provided a really healing product created by Jim Humble that he and Larry developed together in our kitchen, and we called it Miracle Solution. And it works in much the same way in that, well, I don't have time to go into the mechanics of how it works, but the interesting thing is as it detoxifies the body, sometimes people can get sick. It's not the substance that makes them sick. It's that it causes such a dumping of toxins into the stomach, the body has to vomit them out. Or such a toxin, so much dump of toxins into the colon, the body gets diarrhea. But it's just a momentary event. It's not like being sick where it goes on and on and on and then you have to get over being sick. It's just, I think a lot of healers understand that we have to take healing progressively, because when we've built up a lot of toxic substances, and those could include thoughts, those could include feelings, disappointments, misunderstandings, it may take a while to unburden ourselves of all those, because, my friends, nobody wants to be wrong. We don't want to think we were the one that was wrong in an argument, that we were actually the one that didn't trust. We may have to realize maybe it was our fault and get used to it, and then rebuild our life and ask forgiveness, but that's not all going to happen in one day. We may have to realize we haven't been eating such good food, and we have to change that. But the effects on our body won't just build up in one day. So what we're talking about with a miracle is renewal. And renewal can happen in the twinkling of an eye, but most of the time it happens in layers. Layers upon layers upon layers. And we walk through gateway after gateway after gateway. But we get there. The important thing, the very important thing is for you to start recognizing the difference in feeling between renewal and growth. Renewal is not the same thing as growth. Growth is putting on a new branch, a new leaf on the tree. Renewal is changing the health of the tree. Changing the ability of the tree to survive. Renewal is something much deeper than growth. Renewal permits growth, yes. They're coordinated, but they're definitely not the same thing. Renewal in you may actually include cutting away some of the things that don't work. And Yeshua talked about that in pruning the vines. He said sometimes things that haven't produced and don't work have to be cut away. So they're no longer a burden to your life or your system. And part of renewal may involve realizing something's got to go. Maybe a job that is overworking you and underpaying you. Maybe people in your life that were once good friends just are not rewarding to be in your life right now. And you need to bless them. Let them go their way. You go your way. So much we have to look at. The cutting away is part of renewal. I used to own and manage a vineyard. I could base an entire class on what I learned from the vineyard. In fact, one of my goals one day is to create a webinar called The Vineyard. And it will be a parallel to the entirety of our life and all the parables that Yeshua used. I think it will be such a fun webinar when I can get around to doing it. But there's so much important work to do in the meantime. But we right now are at the point where we need to offer our blessing for today. And I hope that this clarified for you the nature of a miracle and inspired you to receive a miracle. And not just that, to become a miracle, to be the miracle that you are. So those who have come to receive, just be seated, your hands, body, legs, arms uncrossed so that energy can flow freely. Allow your attention to fall into your heart and stop your thoughts. Just let them relax because thoughts are all polarized. They're all based on comparison. And even though it may not be negative against positive or negative against negative, still just the existence of comparison is not harmony. So drop all your thoughts. Just let go of them. Just be there. Be in the moment. Accept whatever comes your way. Because whatever comes your way from Christ is all about renewal. It's not about change. It's about renewal. And I would ask the blessing givers to join me. I will say my invocation to Yeshua, then we will conduct the energy of the blessing. While we're doing that, please be in your prayer. And when we're finished, go and rest for at least 7 minutes. So let us begin. Dear Yeshua, Lord of life, Son of God, Brother of humanity, Child of the universe, the one who is perfect and continues to be more perfect and teaches us how to be perfect and continue to be more perfect. We ask you for blessings this day. And we ask that your blessings touch our inner seed of perfection, that we may be renewed in spirit, in body, in heart, in soul, in feeling, that our relationships may be renewed, that our talents and abilities may be renewed, that our way of life and our spirit of life may be renewed, and that we may find new opportunities for being all that we are in the world, a blessing unto the world, and that our life may be a radiant light into the world. We ask all of this in your blessed and holy name. Amen. Amen. Your blessing has been given. Now please go and rest and receive. You're very loved, and I look forward to being with you again next week. So bye-bye for now.